seconds after the hour of noon in this, the month of April in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming by and making a part of your listening day. We appreciate it. Live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of Johnson 970, a proud part of the CBS radio family. This is the Rick Emerson Show. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, assembled drunks, deviants, barflies, pickpockets, thugs, thieves. Thank you for coming by. It's 503-733-2970 today. The telephone there. 503-733-2970. You want to be part of today's broadcast. You want to email with your comments, clarifications, kvetches, what have you. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. We thank you for coming by. We are broadcasting beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. It is Monday. We are now 3 days away. Three days away from Rick Emerson Listener Party 9. Kissing my ass. Thank you. And so forth. Now, that's coming up this Thursday, April 20th, 7 p.m. Sabalas, Mount Tabor, right there in 49th and Hawthorne. We have more details coming about that. Coming up about that today. 3 days away. Three, I say. So later on, we're going to find out the people you know who are not, because I know. I know just as certainly as I know my own name that you know somebody. For either they probably identify themselves as a big fan, they probably mouth a lot of jargon about how they're a big listener, how they love the show, how they listen every day, and yet they're not coming. You know they're not coming. They've told you they're not coming. They've peddled some mush-mouthed excuse about why they're not going to be there, something about having to get up the next day, something about having to work, some nonsense about having to provide, be productive, make money for their family. This is all bupkis. Later on, we're going to find out who you know that should be coming that is not. And we are going to begin the browbeating. And the browbeating is going to continue every single day until the party is over. The beatings will continue until the party is finished. That's all coming up today. Gary Baumgarten from CNN Radio is going to join us. Apparently, they're installing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cameras all over Manhattan. Not to worry. It's for your protection. Liberty is on the march. We have a Cannibal Watch coming up today. Play another edition of Rick Humiliates the Listeners with his Mighty Metal Might. Spot the fake metal lyrics will be happening today. I want you to know, by the way, it's not one, not two, not three. It's now four times in a row. Four times consecutively that I, me, Rick Emerson, have bested you, the listening audience, at Spot the Fake Metal Lyrics. Clearly, it's just a matter of time before I'm asked to leave this Henrietti job in front Queensryche, so you should enjoy it while it's here. We've got Bill Cosby singing the Beatles for no real reason. And again, we are now 3 days away from Listener Party 9, so be listening. Details on that coming up. Peter Carlin is going to be here from the Oregonian. We're going to talk about the Sopranos last night. Who watched it? Anyone? Sarah?
I did.
Now, you don't have cable. Where did you watch it?
Over at my friend Sean's house.
All right, so we will be able to... Sean, he's the guy that looks like Jeff Garland.
Yeah, the one you saw at the record swap.
All right, Sean is one of those guys. Sarah's got this friend. Did you ever meet somebody, and the first time you meet them, you, in your own head, you assign them a nickname, or somebody else refers to them by a nickname? Or it occurs to you that they look like somebody else, and then from then on, that's what they, who they are to you. You can't remember their real name. So it is with Sean, because Sean looks exactly like Jeff Garland from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
He looks a kind of like
he
him.
He looks complete, or Fred Flintstone, one of the two. He was also, Jeff Garland was also maybe Funke's boss at the studio on Arrested Development. He looks just like that guy. So that's who he is to me. And you'll tell me his name is Sean, and it's like I'll sort of nod and I'll grunt and I'll smile politely, and then it'll be gone. The name will be out of my head like it was coated in Teflon. Anyway, so we'll talk about The Sopranos last night, which was stress-inducing, as always. I got this whole thing for watching programs that just make me uncomfortable. Like Six Feet Under used to do that. My so-called life, Freaks and Geeks. There's a whole lot of programs that make you just sort of cringe and they make your skin crawl off. So it was with last night's Sopranos. So we will discuss that. What else is coming up? Clyde Lewis will join us for news at Ground Zero. And I shouldn't tease anything else. Gotta say it and we're not going to get to it. By the way, though, we will be announcing today, during today's program, we will be announcing the song that we will be performing at the listener party as part of the Unleash Your Inner Rock and Roll God contest. Coming up today, we will announce the song that the band will be playing for the Unleash Your Inner Rock and Roll God contest. That's coming up today as well. It's 503-733-2970. We are joined today, as are we always, by the lovely Sarah X. Dillon, who is looking Like about a 6.5 out of 10 in terms of the awake scale.
Yeah, I'm a little tired today.
You don't look bad, but you got the... Now, is that eyeliner?
I got this new smudgy eyeliner.
Okay.
Huh?
So it's supposed to look smudged.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm supposed to look kind of trashy today.
Is that from Coin 6?
Mission accomplished.
No.
Did Coin 6... Was that a memo?
No, this was not approved by the consultant.
There wasn't some sort of memo asking you to... Could you just wear a little more makeup?
No, I looked all wholesome today. I wore like a pink sweater.
Do you have something cut to your navel?
Nah.
All right. Do you ever get memos about that?
I get complaints about my clothing all the time.
Now, but are they complaints about, like, your...
Well, they're complaints from...
looking a little too sexy, or complaints about not looking quite sexy enough?
No, a lot of them say I look like a barista. Because with my glasses and
who
my
doesn't like baristas?
I know.
Everyone does.
I guess I need more color in my wardrobe.
They ask you to wear pieces of flair. But Playboy, just a couple months ago, did a whole hot barista girls thing. I'm telling you, if you want to appeal to horny middle-aged men, Coin News 6, and I know you do, then that's the look you ought to be going for. The baristas are the new bank teller. They are the new school teacher. I firmly believe this. Joining us from the city desk, we're working on the following stories for your edification. It's your personal savior, Tim Riley.
Now, Florida Easter Bunny goes bad. Oh, so bad. A boy is held hostage for his Easter eggs. A Sudanese wedding is ruined when the guests are splashed with acid by an irate guest. And Dick Cheney visits Spokane.
It's a win-win situation for everybody today. All right, it's 503-733-2970. We'll also check in with Engineer Sean and find out how he's sticking it to the man today by following the letter of the CBS corporate dress code while flagrantly disobeying the spirit of that dress code. That's coming up. Your phone calls, your email, more details on Listener Party 9, which is now just 3 days away, etc., etc., so on and so forth. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, let's get to the real reason you joined us today. At the City Desk, it's Tim Riley.
From higher top to bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat, Tim Riley reporting. Not only is this a bad Easter Bunny story, but it's a bad Florida Easter Bunny story.
Oh, no. Oh. Okay, now wait a minute. Now look, I had sounders loaded. They were all here.
Mm-hmm.
Did someone, and I'm looking in your direction, Tim Riley.
No, I came in here a few minutes ago, and all mine were erased, too, so I had to put them back in again.
Hold on. Now, the mechanics of the show are becoming uncomfortably evident. Hold on just 1 second. I'm sorry. It's a bad story from where?
Florida.
All right.
It's one of those rare behind-the-scenes looks. Right. The Easter Bunny is arrested for attacking a woman. This is not a joke. This all happened at the Edison Mall when a 6-foot-tall, 280-pound Easter Bunny and his assistant were arrested by Fort Myers police for an altercation. For the Johansson family, it's a holiday memory they'll never forget, even if they'd like to. It was like something you saw in a movie, said Robert Johansson. The next thing you know, my wife is sucker-punched by the manager. She is pulled to the ground by her hair, and then the Easter Bunny jumps on top and starts punching my wife in the head.
I'm unclear about everything in this story,
Let's begin here. Johansson said the incident started because the Easter Bunny decided to close shop 15 minutes early Saturday night.
Oh, is this the Easter Bunny in like one of those big ticky-tacky cardboard houses like Santa Claus during a...
the Easter Bunny might live.
Where does the Easter Bunny live?
It depends on what mall you go to, I suppose.
All right. You know, and here's another thing. No one has really ever addressed the issue of where the Easter Bunny gets the eggs. There's some sort of a weird, bypassing the middlemen and bringing the poultry products to you thing going on here. The Easter Bunny, to the best of my knowledge, the Easter Bunny does not manufacture said eggs himself, nor is he capable of laying eggs. And yet he suddenly appears... Is there some sort of a sweatshop somewhere where... Like the Easter Bunny, like you picture him with
like
just...
Like little elves in a hollow tree?
I'm just picturing the Easter Bunny with some sort of an egg mill. He's got a bunch of electrified cages and prods that he's using to produce eggs.
And all the chickens are very happy.
They're happy chicken slaves.
Mm-hmm.
Well, whatever. Anyway, but this is one of those things where you take your hideous child to be photographed sitting on the lap of the Easter Bunny.
So anyway, the Easter Bunny decides to close up shop early. Then Robert Johansson and his wife Erin approach the manager to complain when she is knocked to the ground. The Edison Mall released this statement concerning the matter. We have been pleased over the years to make the visit with the Easter Bunny part of the shopping experience here at the Edison Mall.
Uh-huh.
We're shocked and dismayed at the events of Saturday evening at the Easter photo set, which is particularly disconcerting with families and young children who witnessed a highly unfortunate incident. We're contacting the company that operates the Easter photo business at our... So this is a subcontracted Easter Bunny. They will continue to cooperate with Fort Myers police.
And so this is... So they complained that it was closing up early, and the manager... Trying to get this in my head. The manager of the mall...
But first it was the manager. The manager of the mall started some sort of a melee. Mm-hmm. And then the Easter Bunny jumped into the mix.
Right. There's a good Easter Bunny would.
Is that word pronounced fracas? Right. Is that how that's pronounced?
I believe so.
It occurs to me now that's one of those words that I don't think I've ever, in my 33 years on planet Earth, I don't think I've ever said that word out loud. F-R-A-C-A-S. Fracas.
Fracas.
Doesn't fracas sound like one of those things Yosemite Sam would say? Doesn't really mean anything.
No.
Whatever. Anyway, so the Easter Bunny jumps into the mix and starts what I wouldn't give for security camera footage of this. If anybody finds it, pass it our way.
It's probably
Sarah's picking
somewhere.
Something off her face right now.
Will you stop? My eyelashes.
This is the daily...
The way that you word things is just terrible.
In what way is it inaccurate? Some days you're scratching yourself, some days you're picking objects off of your face.
My mascara is getting a little old, so it's a little chunky.
I'm a little bit chunky. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, from Wisconsin comes word, organizers hope the 1,800 participants set a record for the world's longest bunny hop line. Uh-huh. Dressed for the part, the bunny hoppers jump for 5 minutes, trying to beat the previous record of 1,500 participants from Detroit Lakes, Michigan in 2002. Officials with the Guinness Book of World Records will be the final judges.
You know, can I just tell you this? Every time I hear somebody lamenting the death of the mainstream media and how the newspapers are becoming a thing of the past and journalists are going to be in the breadline because of the Internet, and you start to feel sorry for people in the mainstream media for like a second and a half, and then you hear a story like this, which is about the world's longest bunny hop line?
That's correct, yes, the world's longest bunny hop line.
And then you realize that about 98% of what is published in every newspaper every day is just a bunch of mediocre swill that means nothing to no one.
Except for the chattering classes.
Is that us?
That
I'm never clear what they mean by chattering classes.
People who chatter like we do.
That's us. Mm-hmm. I thought we were pundits.
No.
Or bloviators.
No, that would be Pat Buchanan.
All right, okay.
Meanwhile, a gun was fired and a 12-year-old boy held hostage in a home invasion. The couple and the woman's son were asleep at their home when five men armed with knives, a shotgun, and a handgun burst into the place. The boy watched his mother and her partner were threatened at gunpoint. Apparently, they stole $150 and all the boy's Easter eggs.
Okay.
Meanwhile, an Albany woman has been accused of crashing a Sudanese wedding party over the weekend and splashing people with a bottle of acid.
I always think about this, because you hear about this astonishingly often in the news, about people blinded with acid, people have acid. I wouldn't even... Where does one get a bottle of acid?
I guess it's a behind-the-counter type of thing.
Some sort of a minute march for today's enterprising hooligan.
Some back alley somewhere.
No, you always hear about protesters, and there was this time in like the late 80s, early 90s, when there was, there was that whole rash of comedians. There was like the Andrew Dice Clay and Sam Kinison types. And there was this whole six-month period where people that went to see Andrew Dice Clay were like having acid tossed on them from the passers-by and whatnot. And I always wonder the same thing. I always wonder, it's like when you hear about women being taken down with a bottle of chloroform. I have no idea where one obtains chloroform.
You gotta be producing a B-movie for that. That's usually what it is.
It's like Rohypnol. I'm not asking anybody to send me Rohypnol. I want to be very clear on this point. But they make it sound like it's something you can just buy anywhere. I don't know where anybody buys any of these things. Now look, as soon as I said the phrase, I am not looking to buy Rohypnol, immediately the phones began to ring, and you know what this is. This is someone offering to send me a bottle of Rohypnol in the mail. I've learned how these things work. Is this about acid or Rohypnol? All right.
I guess it's more plentiful.
Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
This is Michael.
Hi, Michael. How can I help you today?
I'll come tell you where you can get acid at.
Okay. It should be noted, by the way, that the Rick Emerson Show does not condone, endorse, promote, encourage, or... Don't do anything with acid, kids.
And they're not even a sponsor.
No.
We'll send some salespeople over.
We'll send an AE by anyone.
Send them a 13-week contract.
For all your disfiguring needs. Yes, theoretically speaking, where does one buy a big bottle of acid?
You can get it at any home repair shop, Home Depot, Lowe's. They sell it as drain opener, and it's pure sulfuric acid.
Drain opener?
Yep.
Whenever you just go to the store and you buy yourself some liquid plumber. Why would you need a big bottle of sulfuric acid to open it? What are you putting down a drain? Unless you're trying to dispose of like an entire cow or something down one of the drains in your home. It seems like it's... That's a little bit of overclear, don't you think?
Who would be doing that?
I have no idea.
I went to Home Depot just to get just that Drano, and they had it next to Drano.
Which one did you choose?
Yes. Yeah, did you buy the acid or the Drano?
I had to try the acid.
Excellent.
I guess he's planning on going to a Sudanese wedding party.
Let me ask you this.
He smokes a lot.
I always wonder about the depiction of pure acid as seen in the film versus real life. Now, there is sulfuric. Now, is sulfuric the most potent of all the acids? Because there's sulfuric, there's hydrochloric. Hydrochloric acid is what's in your stomach, right? Or is that gastric acid? I don't know. But
I have no idea. This one, it says sulfuric acid drain opener and has a big skull and crossbones on the
fantastic
on the front of it.
I mean, this is not a toy.
It's the kids. Now, what will sulfuric acid eat through?
Anything. I spilled it on a rag and it ate through the rag.
How long did it take? How in like a second?
Oh yeah, it was like poof. It was like
We should do a whole
show.
I want to do a whole show where we just pour acid on things. What if I just poured some acid on like a, I don't know, like a big piece of like a bagel? It would just be gone, wouldn't it?
Probably.
How about a piece of wood?
I have no idea. I didn't pour it on wood. I poured it down my drain.
Did you spill any on yourself?
No. Okay. I wore the proper protection, the gloves and the goggles.
Did it work?
It works very well.
All right. Okay. Do you suppose if you spilled, is this like one of those things in Aliens where if you spilled the acid on yourself, it would just go right through your arm and then just keep burning, or would it stop halfway through your arm, do you think?
The guy at Home Depot told me that if I got it on my skin, it would be like a gigantic cigarette burn that would spread to about the size of a quarter.
Fantastic.
And it would stop. It would dissolve itself.
All right. As long as it stops.
Well, kids, don't play with acid. Don't go buy it. All right. Thank you, sir.
Uh-huh.
All right. There you go. Well, see, you learn something every day. Oh, by the way, John emails in and says it is pronounced fracas. A fracas ensued.
I don't know.
I have no way of knowing. All right. Actually, I do. Okay. Just why don't you go ahead, and
Meanwhile, this party was held at the Friendship House.
Okay. I'm sorry, the acid party?
Yes, it was.
Good times.
Well, don't be surprised that there are more personnel changes in the Bush administration in the weeks ahead. Scott McClellan, remember him? He says the president's new chief of staff, this is the first bank of sound bites, the president's new chief of staff, Josh Bolton, met with senior staff during the first day.
Oh, this is
what he said was simply, I want to make sure I have a team in place that is with us for a minimum the remainder of this year and to some extent beyond that. And so he said that if you're thinking about leaving sometime in the near future, now would be a good time to do it.
All vacations are canceled.
This is the first time he actually knew something about something.
Who is this? Is this Scott McClellan?
The guy that hasn't insisted nothing.
All right. Okay.
It also says the president trusts Bolton to make the changes necessary.
The president is going to be looking to Josh for his advice and counsel, and the president has given him the full authority to do what he needs to do and what he believes is in the best interest of this White House and this president.
Meanwhile, the president and the first lady presided over the annual White House Easter egg roll. After an official greeting by the first lady to everyone taking part, the president blew a whistle and the hunt was underway.
All right, everybody ready? On your mark. Get set.
Well, as long as he's making a good use of his time. Is it true that there were some of the gays there?
Dozens of children accompanied by their parents took part in the events. Hundreds of gays and lesbian parents wore rainbow-colored lays. For some reason.
Well, because they're a festive people.
They are. The stunt has been criticized by some conservative groups who accused homosexual families of politicizing a family tradition.
All right. Oh, wait, hold on. I found the pronunciation. Oh. Okay, I was to believe there'd be an actual pronunciation.
What are we looking for again?
I'm looking to see how that the F word, the F-R-A-C-A-S is pronounced.
I see.
Sorry. Well, this is clearly a radio bit gone awry. This is just a whole lot of...
Nobody can remember the original reason.
No. Okay, let's move on.
All right. School officials in Inglewood, California say an elementary school principal made an honest mistake while trying to prevent student walkouts during immigration rallies. Anjay Marquez imposed a lockdown of nearly 40,000 students across Southern California who left classes to attend immigrant rights demonstrations. But the lockout didn't allow children to go to the bathroom. Instead, she forced them to use buckets in the classroom. One activist said it was unsanitary, unnecessary, and absolutely unacceptable. Well, Marquez apparently misread the district handbook.
I'm pretty sure that the guidelines specify that you're not allowed to make the students go inside a gigantic chamber pot in the corner.
There's an explanation. Uh-huh. The district's director of operations, Tim Brown, said Marquez did follow procedure but misread the handbook. So she got part of it right.
Okay.
Appalled parents have complained.
All right, wait, hold on. I'm finding the pronunciation right now.
Of what?
Any second. Wait.
Fracases. Fracases.
Okay, that's how it's pronounced.
Fracases.
That's plural.
Fracases.
All right. Fracas.
Is that Katie Couric?
He is. That's
where would you even find
that's why it sounds so perky. I know how to use the internet. I know stuff.
Okay.
No, you go to Merriam-Webster.com and it'll pronounce any word for you.
Oh, is that Merriam?
I know this because I'm a nerd. All right, there you go. So it is, in fact, pronounced fracas. All right, I want to know more about the bucket. So what is the... So was the bucket in the classroom?
Yes.
Or was the bucket... Okay, so there's...
Well, it's a convenient for everyone.
Yeah,
there.
It sounds like they were locked in the classroom with the bucket.
Concentric circles of weirdness. So if you're... How old are these children? This is like high schoolers, right? Because if you're a third grader, you don't give a rip about anything.
No,
you're so you're a high schooler. You're a little bit unnerved.
Oh, no, this is an elementary school.
Well, that's just wrong. All right.
Well, they're too young to know.
I guess they're not at that stage.
Only 40,000 used it. Probably the same bucket.
The morbid shame about their bodies that comes, you know, when you hit your teenage years. So it's a whole lot of squatting in a corner in a bucket. I want to know what was going through the teacher's head.
It's to keep them from protesting.
When she went through a flow chart in her head of the various options. Let them leave the classroom to use the bathroom. Let them go attended. Let them go with some sort of an escort. Let them go with a teacher. Let them go in groups of five. Make them squat in a bucket in the corner.
Apparently there was something written down about this. She just misread it.
Okay.
These things do happen.
There you go. It is tempting to get Jim Roop about that, but really, what else is there to say? All right.
Dick Cheney may not seem very popular in the left-leaning state of Washington, but that won't stop him from, well, doing some fundraising activities. He arrived in Everett Sunday for campaign appearances, and then he moves on to Spokane. He's already made some 50 fundraising appearances for Republicans in this election cycle. And, let's see, you can meet him in Spokane for $500. Does anyone in Spokane have $500?
No.
Contributors can pay $2,100 apiece to attend a private reception in Spokane and have their photo taken with Cheney. About 100 people are expected to attend. Meanwhile, from Pasco comes word, after a 7-year legal battle, hundreds of people who worked at the Iowa beef processing slaughterhouse will receive checks for $8.4 million. Well, not all. This is
no, wait, is this Pasco, Washington, or Pasco, Florida?
No, Washington.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The payments stem from a class action lawsuit that alleged Iowa beef processors allowed workers to work without protective gear.
In the Tri-Cities, that's hard to believe.
What will protective gear be at the Iowa beef processing slaughterhouse?
I have no idea. And that's one of those things where you don't want to let your brain wander too far away, because if you start thinking about the lack of gear and lack of gloves, then you start thinking about what's going into the beef, and that's just... And it's coming out of Pasco anyway, which means it's filled with tumbleweeds and grit and, you know, like radioactive sand and isotopes. So Dick Cheney, by the way, will be hailed as a conquering hero in Spokane. That's what that place is like. You should know, by the way, it didn't happen, but you should know that this program, it didn't come very close, but there was, in the period of time between the great firing and the great reemergence here on CBS Radio, there was this window of time where it seemed likely, if not probable, this program would be given the chance to move to Spokane, Washington. So it should also be noted that my wife informed me that she would not be moving with me.
And I'm
that
glad I was never told
yet.
That.
Yeah, me
and
too.
And I would not be married anymore.
Notice we weren't told that.
I would be moving by myself. Well, because what am I going to say?
Who wants to go to Spokane? Yeah.
The Simpsons are going to Spokane.
Let me fill up a garbage bag and I'll join you.
I've got bad news and worse news, kids.
Home of the largest slaughterhouse in eastern Washington.
Okay. We'll be back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. It's 503-733-2970. Right here on Johnson 970. Proud part of the CBS Radio family. You stay right there. Back after this. It's okay. They are one of those foods, though. You open a packet of corn nuts anywhere in the building, and suddenly the entire place smells like you're inside a 7-Eleven, 2 a.m. It's like eating one of those red hot mamas. You know what I'm talking about? Like those big, those bright red briny things that just float in the tub at the back of the plaid pantry right by the discount cigarettes and the Hustler. You open that jar anywhere, and then the entire place just smells like pickled pork for like a year and a half.
I'm sorry, Gus, if I smell my corn nuts.
Thing.
Uh-huh.
All right. 503-733-2970. 503 733-2970. Here's the thing about corn nuts that mystifies me, though, is I actually wonder, first of all, they contain no nuts.
They don't?
Second of, well, the, I mean.
What are they made of?
I don't, and I doubt that they're made of corn.
The same thing as Pringles, probably.
They're, you mean cardboard?
No, the first ingredient
is
corn.
The Pringles of the nut family.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not.
Especially
it's not,
high,
it's not a whole kernel of corn.
It's not real corn, though.
Soybean, canola oil, and salt.
Mm-hmm.
Corn.
But, I mean, like, is it actual real corn? See, here we go. I got to learn to quit asking these things, because then the next thing you know, you're going to be getting some schematic diagram of the machine that they use to make the corn nuts. Well, let me just, hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Hey, this is Jim. How you doing, Rick?
Hi, Jim. How are you today? You calling about corn nuts, sir?
No, actually, I'm calling to give you guys the winning name for the band that is looking for a name.
Oh, yeah, I see.
I
Listener Party Night is coming up Thursday. This Thursday, April 20th, 7 p.m., so all is my favor. And there's going to be a headlining performance by the artist formerly known as the Bigger Than Jesus House Band. And
yes.
We did get some fantastic names last week, but really the band wasn't partial to...
they're going to love this one. Are you ready?
I thought the Booby Doctors was fantastic, but I was alone there. What is your name, sir?
The Zombie Pinchers.
Zombie Pinchers.
Aren't you loving it?
Yes, it's fantastic. Okay. There you go. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
Yeah, this is Dennis.
Hi, Dennis.
How about a band name called Maggot and the Dead Meat Lice?
No.
All right. Just going to quit answering the phones for a while. It's 503-733-2970. 503. What, did they just wait for the lunch hour for this? Is that what it is? They just look up, and as soon as they know that some guy in three cubicles over is eating something squishy.
Somebody's eating corn nuts.
Have you ever eaten corn nuts before?
No.
This is your inaugural corn nut experience. And you picked them, why?
Well, because everything else is, you know, like 600 calories.
Nothing else really screams health the way that corn nuts do.
I'm sorry, I can see that Tim hates me right now, and I'm really sorry, Tim.
Well, because it's just nothing but shaped and processed fat rolled in salt.
The number one ingredient is corn.
Uh-huh.
They're corn.
Okay. Why don't you just have a big salt lick? All right, here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Well, look who's visiting Jerry Falwell for his support. John McCain.
Uh-huh.
They discussed the bitter 2000 Republican nomination campaign, during which the senator labeled Falwell as an agent of intolerance. Well, 5 minutes in, we got all the old stuff behind us, and all is clear, said Falwell. You know, he's a very strong conservative, that John McCain. He's pro-life, strong in national defense. He's a national hero.
Okay.
But he's not endorsing him.
All right.
Yet. Time for the Britney Watch.
Here's your Britney Watch for Monday on the Rick Emerson Show. I gotta say two things right now. A, I think I'm about one cup low on my caffeine intake for the day. Because it was so easy when we were over at Max 910 because I had those, remember those big ass mugs they gave us? The Max mugs? I mean, the things were thin as eggshells though. I broke like seven of them. But the great thing is that I had, by the time they fired us, I had just figured out my caffeine intake. And it was all based on those, it was a standard unit of measurement. And the Max mug was my unit. And so I would have 2.5 of those mugs right before the show. And then I would have another 1.5, like at the beginning of the third hour. And so here, obviously, I've broken the mug. I wouldn't want to use it anyway because it's got bad vibes attached to it. So now I've got this new cup, which is much smaller, and I have yet to figure out exactly how much coffee I need to consume before the show. So some days I go wildly over, and some days I'm decidedly under. And today is the latter, and I feel a little uncaffeinated today. So I feel like I'm about one cup short. So if I sound like my wit is really only like 85-90% there instead of the usual sterling, if my wit isn't quite the gold polished paragon of humor that it normally is, that's probably why. I'll sound better at one. I'll be 10% more amusing at 1 o'clock when I've had time to caffeinate up a little more. B, as we start the Britney Watch, am I the only one who's seen that video of her prepping for her new her new video for MTV?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
There's this video that's floating around, and it's her in a dance studio. It's one of those, you know, one of those, like, Staying Alive-type dance studios with the wooden floor and the bar and the mirrors on the wall. And it's her, clothes looking a little snug. Like, hurling herself around like some sort of spasmodic whale.
Oh, is it just sad?
Like some sort of epileptic manatee. she doesn't actually look that bad. She doesn't look as bad as everybody else thinks she does, in my opinion. She just doesn't look like she did when she was 16. But which of us, who of us does? But anyway, it's just, motherhood is one of those things those are some irreversible changes, I think, that happen. Even all the plastic surgery in the world, there's clearly some things that are just, they never go back to being they were. You don't regain your former springiness, I think, in probably many, many ways. And videos just, it's out there. You'll find it. Here's Tim Riley.
It's like a car that just came back from an auto body shop. Never the same as when you brought it in.
They claim the quarter panel's the same as before. Mm-hmm. If you've driven it in the past, you can tell the difference. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, I have two stories here. First, Kevin Federline insists his marriage to Brittany will never end in divorce, like Nick Lachey and Jessica Simpson's relationship. Mm-hmm. Federline believes the former couple didn't work hard enough to keep their relationship together. He explains, quote, "My situation is different. I ain't getting no divorce."
Oh, God.
F that. I don't believe in that.
S.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Once you get married, you're in it for the play.
It's these sort of mad verbal skills that have made him a force to be reckoned with inside the hip-hop industry. Mm-hmm. His album drops, by the way. Oh, speaking of that, I completely forgot to mention. This is the lack of caffeine. Everything's coming to me like on a 10-second delay. So, K-Fed is coming to... He's coming to Vegas. Now, he's not performing, thank holy God, but he will be doing... What it's like a listening party, is that, you know it's like a, some club, mm-hmm. Where he's just gonna be hanging or chilling or whatever the kids do now, and he's gonna be playing the record, and our good friend The Low, who now lives in Vegas, offered to go and witness it for us because he got invited. Because Low is, you remember, the old school listeners will remember Low. He did the Radio Gangsta song. He's a hip hop artist. Used to live in Portland. He just moved to Vegas. Still a friend of the show. But he emailed me the other day and he's like, dude, Kevin Federline is going to have a listening party at this club. I got invited because I'm in the hip hop community. He's like, if you want me to go, I will totally take one for the Emerson team. So I'm going to tell him to completely go, watch it, witness it, and then to call in with a full report. So just so you know. B, is he talking about Nick Lachey there?
Yes.
Here's the thing about Nick Lachey. A, he kind of looks like, if you know Mark Baumgarten from the Willamette? Like, imagine if he got all roided up. And just, you know what I mean? He looks a little bit like Mark Baumgarten. Or...
They look completely different.
It's not true. Or if Mark Baumgarten... If Nick Lachey was anorexic, like if you locked him in a cupboard for like a year and didn't feed him anything but like melon rinds or something, or corn nuts, yeah. He might look a little like Mark Baumgarten. They got kind of a similar...
You know that Mark Baumgarten's blonde, right?
Yeah, but Nick Lachey, blondish?
No, he has like dark brown hair.
I'm saying facially, though. They both
have a nose.
They have a little bit of similarity. B, here's the thing about Nick Lachey. This does not mean, by the way, that I have some unholy lust for Mark Baumgarten. Nick Lachey, though, is one of those guys, and I mean, I can admit, he's almost distractingly good looking, don't you think? I mean, he's got like, I don't think it's airbrushing, because it's like, I see him, I'll be standing in line at the Safeway, and they got the tabloids, or the Us, or the People, or whatever it is now, or the In Touch. And they'll, you know, it'll be like, Nick's hot new girl, Nick's new Jessica. And it'll be a picture of Nick Lachey. And I find myself just staring at him, thinking like, why, how is it that he gets born looking that way, and I'm born looking like this? You know what I mean? It's one of those things. I find him
really not attractive, though.
See, I don't know, man. I find him
maybe
almost...
Maybe it's one of those Drew Barrymore people. You know how, like, all girls think that Drew Barrymore's pretty? Maybe Nick Lachey is a man's handsome guy.
I'm just saying, from my perspective, he's one of those guys. And I don't know if he's... He's probably not old enough to be handsome. I think he's still in the cute phase. But he's one of those guys. You look at him, you're like, why?
How he's 30.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, all right. I'm just saying. It is almost distracting to look at him. You know what I mean? Because he just seems perfect in every way. I say this as a man. I'm all man, but I can admit this. It's like when you see George Clooney. Did you ever see a picture of George Clooney when he's, you know, when he's got like a, when he was in that Good Night and Good Luck thing, when he's out, you know, and he had like the kind of the cool 50s black and white look going on, you know what I mean? And he had the kind of cool black and white suit, and then they do those sort of noir-esque photos of him, and you're just like, what the... kind of world is this? Why is it so... Just the fairness is all out of whack there. Meanwhile, I look like some sort of Dr. Moreau kind of a thing. All right.
Well, here's the second Britney story. Aspiring rapper Kevin Federline loves his image as a pimp because it gives him more credibility on the street as a rapper, but insists he won't let his reputation extend to his home life.
That's good to know. I was really worried about it.
A real pimp is a dude who's making money off bitches.
As opposed to Kevin Federline, who's making money off his raw, unbridled talent.
Well, nowadays, people say they're a pimp just because it's a suave thing to say. I'm not no pimp. I'm just Kevin. Happy husband, happy father. Don't pimp Britney. I found love. I guess that's part of a song.
Are these sentence fragments? Is he attempting to speak out loud?
He is. Maybe he goes to Sylvan Learning Center at night.
All right. Let's see. We've got to listen. See, this is the great thing about MySpace. Diana from downtown emails and she says, I am begging the low at this moment to go see Kevin Federline when he comes to Vegas. So there you go. All right. Is that our Britney watch?
That is.
There you go. There's our Britney watch for... What are we having to climb? Oh, is this him? Okay. I say it and he appears. I was all worried that he was keeping his pimp hand strong at home, too. It's good to know they can put my mind at rest. Rick, for a band name, how about Broken at the Gum Line? The hipsters can just call them Bag. Tom and the Beef. How about Hipster Kill?
No.
Hipster Kill. All one word. That's a great name.
No.
Fine. You guys are so hard to please. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Our good friend,
Hipster Kill.
Word White Star in his own right from ClydeLewis.com. Clyde Lewis, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Doing well. Just hanging out here. I'm eating lunch right now. I'm going to do power lunch. You know, now that I'm working in the college type of atmosphere, I have to have power lunches with people. I'm really okay. Important these days.
Just waiting in line for the microwave, aren't you?
No. Actually, I'm not. That is funny.
Oh, okay. All right. What's going on in the world of the wacky and spooky?
Well, what we're doing is, everybody's getting up now. We are currently... talking about, well, I had a whole show this weekend about the Judas Gospel, which is really kind of creepy because it basically says that the whole crucifixion thing was a conspiracy. So that's a major conspiracy theory. But what's really interesting is that...
Is somebody blending...
Am I able to talk about Art Bell?
I don't know. Is somebody blending something in the background?
Everyone's pushing back their chair at once.
No, actually, we're here at a Thai restaurant. But did you hear about Art Bell?
No. Is he dead?
No, he's marrying a Filipino girl that's 24 years old. His wife died, and so now he's marrying this 24-year-old Filipino girl moving to the Philippines.
Excellent, good for him.
And what's really weird is that he's doing it before this bomb is supposed to go up in Nevada. I don't know if you've heard about this. They're going to do an open-air nuclear test.
Oh, yeah, well, I wouldn't want to be living there if they set that off. No way.
Yeah, so they're going to set up a 700-ton nuclear device, and it's like we're back in the nuclear age. And what was really odd is that on Sunday, on Easter Sunday, I went down to Kelly's, and had breakfast there at the bar Kelly's, and they were showing Dr. Strangelove, and I thought, that's kind of scary.
Well, I read that the other day, that they are going to be the first of, I think, several that they're going to be setting off in Vegas, which just seems like a bad idea, but what do I know?
Yeah, Vegas is going to go back to being the atomic capital of the world. They're going to be blowing stuff up, and it's really going to be scary. And when you're hearing how Iran is talking these days about, you know, coming after us and bombing us and the nuclear stuff, I mean, we're back to nuclear times. We're back to... the idea of duck and cover, hide in the bomb shelter, that kind of thing.
That means I can dig out all my 80s era day after jokes.
That's right. No. So you can do that, and you know, and radiation poisoning is kind of funny when you really look at it. You know?
Okay. What's
saying?
Yes. I was just thinking the same thing. Not really. What's happening at Dante's tonight?
Well, a lot of wild stuff happens at Dante's. In fact, I'm going to be every time I'm speaking lately, people are like rushing the stage, yelling at me and stuff. I think that. People are getting the idea that they're supposed to come and they're supposed to yell at me and challenge me, which is what I like. I don't like coming and basically bowing down and listening to me and basically acquiescing. I like people to challenge me. So if you want a challenge, come out and, you know, do a debate and basically have a good drink and then hang out for karaoke from hell, then, you know, come out to Dante's. I'm speaking at 8 o'clock. It's really entertaining, and people are, you know, coming from all over the place, and they're just basically yelling and screaming at me.
And are you going to be at the listener party on Thursday? Everybody's asking about it.
They're asking if I'm going to be at the listener party?
Yes.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I am. And what I'm doing is I'm also recruiting some women to come with me to the that are very, very pretty.
Of course.
All right.
And so, the, are you, so if you're there, there's like a 1 in 3 chance that like Pink or somebody will show up, right?
That Pink yeah. will show up? I don't know. I'm hoping. But I'm working on several others right now. So
tell her it's a great place to do her homework.
Really cool. What's that?
It's a great place to do her homework. All right.
Uh-huh.
ClydeLewis.com is the website. Catch him at Dante's. And then Thursday at the listener party, Sabala's Mount Tabor.
Okay. We'll
all right, my friend. Thank you. All right, there you go. That's Clyde Lewis. All right, there you go.
I wish he could come in.
No one bows to Clyde. Let's make that clear right now. There's no one genuflecting. It's 503-733-2970. Should I answer? should I take whoever this is?
Sure.
All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick. How's it going?
Hi. What's up? What do you got?
Well, I have a couple names for your band. One is just kind of humorous. The other one actually falls in line with Bigger Than Jesus.
Oh, okay.
The humorous one, and it comes with the first album title, would be the Stay Free Maxi Band.
The Stay Free Maxi Band.
And, of course, then you could have your first album, No Strings Attached.
No Strings Attached. Okay. Wait, hold on. Wait, no, let me just maybe give that the... All right. Thank you, sir.
And the serious one I have, actually, which falls in Bigger Than Jesus, would be Fallen Messiah.
Fallen Messiah. All right. So if they decide that, so we start recruiting, like, singers for some sort of a Swedish death metal thing, and then we're all set there, at least. All right.
Hey, you know.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
All right, we'll see you on Thursday. All right, there you go. All right. It's 503-733-2970. This email says, Rick, Will the new intern be at the listener party? By the way, we should talk about Scotty J for a second because he's not here to defend himself. So Scotty J, and I've decided we do have to refer to him as that because I want him to
really
be identifiable
do.
To everybody.
Well, you meet him and he is a Scotty J.
You meet him and you totally know he's not a Scott. He's not like an SSJ or, you know, initials or whatever. He really is a Scotty J. Or as his misprinted CD says, Scotty J.
Do you still have that? Do you have his air check?
It's back at my desk. I'll have to get it. He brought him his air check. And we should get it later. We brought him his air check of, God bless him, of this, I guess it's a radio spot of commercials he's done or something.
I guess there were some commercials and then some, like, just on-air stuff.
And it's like, you know, here's my sampler, which is the worst thing to put together when you're a DJ. I sympathize with that because when you're a jock, especially when you're out of work, trying to put together an air check, which is, you know, an overview, like a little radio, it's like a demo CD, basically, of your show, it's the most horrifying, soul-crushing thing you can possibly imagine.
And then you accidentally erase all the good parts, and you don't have a backup for it.
Yeah, you can't. And this is what happens. You're sitting there, and you're interviewing with somebody, and they're coming. And I've had to be this guy. I mean, not just here, but, I mean, years ago when I was a program director in Utah, I had to say this as well. You would be talking to somebody who wants a job, and then they'll say, well, I do this show where I, you know, it's just kind of, I take some calls, and I kind of, and you're getting no concept for what the show is. And then you find yourself saying the following phrase. Well, why don't you drop off an air check and a resume and we'll take a listen. And hearing that when you are applying for a radio job is terrible because you want to get it to them as soon as possible. In radio, you are always supposed to have an air check already prepared and ready. Like that, it's like what they always say, you should try to have six months worth of salary in the bank, you know, like in case you should be, which no one anywhere has ever had. No one in radio has ever had 6 months worth of salary sitting in the bank. It does not happen. And you don't have an air check prepared either. And so the program director says, well, drop me off an air check and we'll take a listen to it. And you go home and you're like, crap. And you start looking around, and what have you got? Do you have things clearly labeled? Do you have things filed and sorted? No. You have a duffel bag full of unlabeled cassette tapes from 1995.
And mini disc tapes, too, with no mini disc recorder.
Mini disc with nothing to play them on.
Yep.
And that only have, like, the vaguest of descriptions, like, show 519, you know, camel. You know, it just doesn't make it, stuff that makes no sense at all. And so you're there having to listen to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours of your own show, which is excruciating. I don't care how big of an egomaniac you are, listening to your own show, trying to find a segment that doesn't suck is torture.
I never thought I was that bad.
It is,
but it's true.
No, you just listen back to it and you're like, God damn, I'm terrible.
How did I last that long?
Why would anyone listen to me? I don't care who you are. You could be Edward R. Murrow. You're listening back to the show. You could be Cousin Brucey. You're listening back and just going, oh, this is the worst show ever. How am I ever going to find something useful? And so So then you got to pull like an hour's worth, like a solid hour that's good, because they always tell you that they want an unedited hour. Like they don't want you to stitch together a bunch of greatest hits, because then they think you're just cherry picking the 5 moments where you were good over the course of a year. So you got to find a solid unedited hour, which is impossible. It's just because every time you get a good hour of your program that you think is worthy of being given to a program director, halfway through it, something stupid happens, or you say something dumb, or there's some technical glitch, and you're horrified by the whole thing. So anyway, so Scotty J, he brings us the CD, and I don't think he's actually done any on air shifts anywhere, except maybe at the college or whatever. I think it's just commercials.
Has he done any, like, DJ work at a strip club or anything?
Probably.
Maybe they recorded off.
Well, he is a
everyone has for at least one.
He's a mobile DJ, isn't he? So mobile DJs and strip club DJs are kind of exist on the same sort of netherworld. They're sort of denizens of the same level of broadcasting. But he brings us this CD, which we will play maybe later today if we get a chance. And on the front, it's got a picture of him, like, sitting what is clearly a production room, with headphones on his head, here is preppy radio guy at leisure, you know, just sort of like with a big smile on his face. And then you open up to the inside, and there is this picture. Isn't it like a casino or something?
Yeah, it's a casino reader board.
It's like the reader board, the sign, the marquee outside of a casino, and literally he's sandwiched in between like checkerboard enthusiast convention
and truck parking
and like
hot dogs and all.
Yeah, pizza by the slice. and they misspell Scotty. They have him listed as Scotty.
They might have run out of T's.
Scotty J, which is fantastic. I'm going to scan that and put it up on the website. Anywho, so this email says, will the new intern be at the party? I believe that Susan in marketing has ordered him to be there. That's a great thing about interns. You can order them to do anything and they can't say no, because there's like 500 others waiting to take their place. Will the new intern let the schoolgirl put acid on him? Maybe on the fleshy part of his thigh. That would be fun. All right, there you go. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Well, from the breadbasket of America comes word. Farmers engaged in Odie County, Nebraska, are picking up the pieces.
Odie County?
After that region was hit by tornadoes. Apparently, no injuries were reported as farms northwest of Beatrice, among the hardest hit, Gary Nanette Weiss's chicken houses were both leveled. A local governor in Namibia said Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt told them they're going to have the baby in his country. Try to find that on the map. Namibia. And they're considering giving the child a Namibian name. Samuel Sufina Nugugu, the governor of the Namibia province where the couple is staying at a heavily guarded lodge, said he had breakfast with the two stars. Uh-huh. It's the most he's eaten in years. He said Jolie had made choices because she loves Namibia.
Who doesn't?
Namibian officials confirmed earlier this month that the couple and 5 other people, including 2 children, arrived at Walrus Bay on a chartered jet from Paris, prompting speculation the baby would be born in Namibia.
Okay. Thank you.
They've been shielded from reporters by heavy security in the beach resort near Walrus Bay. This is where Namibia's desert sand dunes descend spectacularly to the sea.
You're sure this is a real city and not some sort of fictitious, like Coruscant-type city?
Ngugu said that his guests feel at home and free.
In Namibia.
Namibia is a country where everyone has the right to freedom of movement.
Freedom of movement?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
They must feel uninhibited when they visit this beautiful country of ours, he said to the Sunday Times.
They must get their groove on and swing wildly.
He refused to respond to any more comments.
Okay. Namibia.
Hold me. Like you did by the lake on the
Namibia.
Blue.
All right. By the way, I hold this in my hand. This is from the News of the World, which is a fine newspaper. Not quite as good as the Sun. The subject line of this is Jolie's Lesbian Lust, which is amusing on several levels. And I'm not a big fan of Angelina Jolie, but it must be said that there's a very good nude picture of her.
I thought you were talking about Jolie.
Yes. Yes. Look at this. Now, now, Sarah, I'm just going to set this here. Now, I'm not asking you to look at this. If anybody in HR is listening,
give me the paper.
I am going to set this down. Should you pick it up and look at this nude picture of Angelina Jolie, I cannot stop you.
That is your choice as an adult.
That is your choice as an adult. Now, note, you are not able to see it from where you sit now. I'm going to set it down.
Is this her with the girl that she dated when she filmed Foxfire?
Well, see, here's the thing. I'm just going to read this.
Whatever her name is.
This is by Georgia Dickinson, a stunning model who seduced Angelina. Do we have the porn?
This was I'm sure it's not too far.
A stunning model who seduced Angelina Jolie in her first lesbian fling last night. Oh, I'm sorry, lesbian fling. Last night predicted. Brad Pitt will never satisfy the Hollywood sex goddess. In an exclusive and astonishingly explicit interview, which I cannot read here, with News of the World, Calvin Klein beauty Jenny Shimizu, who looks like a man, by the way, who's one of those women that I guess is only attractive if you're blind, said, Angelina is an unbelievable lesbian lover. I was her first, and although she's having a baby with Brad, I doubt I'll be the last. She loves women too much. It's like a drug, and she is hooked. Angelina loves danger and dabbling in the dark side. That's where she gets her kicks, not playing happy families with one man. She has a body which makes you gasp and shudder with lust. Her
hot Namibian nights.
It's unbelievable what she could do with that mouth. It's a mouth that made me beg for more. I can't read any more out of the rest of this. Okay, but I'm setting this down. Okay. Should you choose to look at that nude picture of Angelina Jolie at the top?
Oh, my gosh.
It's pretty amazing. That does make you gasp and shudder just a little bit. Okay, but look at Jenny Shimizu. Tell me that's not a man. And an unattractive man
cute.
At that. She's really not. That's sort of like Henry Winkler if you beat him with a shovel.
Well, she looks like she has pecs right there. The Jenny Shimizu.
Yeah, she's a manly. Maybe that's why I don't find her attractive. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Did you read that?
Yeah, I can't. Yeah, we can't
read
that.
Yeah, I can't say that.
All right. So this is at the News of the World website. Do we have to break?
Angelina loves danger and dabbling in dark places.
Yes. Well, who doesn't? So behind. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're gonna break. We're going to come back. We come back. We're going to play Spot the Fake Metal Lyrics, at which you will lose, and I will once again be triumphant. We're also going to announce which metal song contestants will be performing at Listener Party 9, which is coming up this Thursday. So that's on the way. We got CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten. Later on, Peter Carlin's going to do that Sopranos recap. Plus, we've got It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show, live from Portland on Johnson 970.